Thank you, Janet. Good morning. Good morning. It's good to be here again. I was actually here last week, but that was more to do with who was preaching here rather than anything else. So good morning, and we start with our call to worship. As we begin our weekly journey in your house, O God, lead us and hear our prayer. As we entrust our days to you, guide us and hear our prayer. In the testing times and in times of disappointment, be our rock and salvation. Hear our prayer and shine your love upon us. Amen. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is chosen by the worship group number 24, Come Now Is the Time to Worship. And we sing back to back. I gather it's a tradition here. If you are using a hymn book, it's number 25. Otherwise, the words are on the screen. Number 25, God is here as we, his people, meet to offer praise and prayer.
Christ we share.
It's all right, you can sit down now. Jane is now going to lead us in our prayers of adoration and confession. Thank you, Jane.
Shall we pray together? Majestic Creator God, the earth is full of your glory. How manifold are your works in all the earth. Beauty and wonder all around us. Night skies filled with stars. Birdsong to wake us each morning. The skies, the seas, the mountains all tell of your glory. Sunshine through the rain. Rainbows of hope stretching across a darkened sky. Endless variety of animals, plants, peoples. The intricacy of spider's webs. The community and cooperation of bees. The laughter of children and the kindness of smiles. Colour and sound. Fragrance and taste, touch and contact, gifts all around us. Bountiful, generous God, you shower us with gifts each day. How can we thank you and praise you enough? And yet each day, somehow, the negatives creep in. We ignore, we reject, we criticize. Each day we complain and we judge. Time and time again we find ourselves disappointed, wanting more, grasping and clinging instead of opening our hands, our hearts, and our lives. Forgive us, Lord, for our dissatisfaction and our pettiness. Forgive us for not valuing what we have. Forgive us for finding fault in the very people you designed and delight in. Forgive us for our cold hearts and hidden thoughts. Oh, listen, my people, listen to what the Lord says. Look up and see his love. Even to your old age and grey hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. Strengthen your weak knees and hold out your arms. You are mine, my people, forgiven, redeemed, and made new. Yes, I am making everything new. Just as Jesus spoke to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven. Pick up your mat and walk. So we thank you for releasing us from things which hinder and paralyze. We hear your voice, friend, your sins are forgiven. And we thank you once again, Lord, for a fresh start. Amen.
Thank you, Jane. We're now coming to the part of our service that is, if you're looking at the book, the ministry of the word. It's a reflection on the appointed readings for today. But first we would sing hymn number 160, Powerful in Making Us Wise to Salvation. Our gospel reading this morning is fairly well known, as it's often used in funeral services. If these words have been used in the service to remember one of your loved ones, I trust that they were of comfort to you. As we come to reflect on this passage, we need to note the context, the time and the place, when and where Jesus spoke the words. It's before the Passover, and he and his disciples are gathered together. He's trying to prepare them for the time when he will no longer be with them. But they have questions. Geraldine is now going to read our gospel reading from John chapter 14. Thank you, Geraldine.
John chapter 14, 1 to 14, and I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Jesus, the way to the Father. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, I have been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. We've heard this reading this morning from one particular version, but other versions use other words. House, rooms, mansions, homes, dwelling places, we heard this morning. Or even one version says, there is plenty of room in my Father's house. This is not just about heaven, but it's more about the here and now. For those who are travelling the way of Jesus, the Jesus way. I wonder what pictures you have in your imagination of this. I wonder if you saw a recent television program called Pilgrimage. The program was shown over the Easter weekend when seven well-known, or perhaps not so well-known people, were walking 250 miles across the northeast of England to Lindisfarne or Holy Island. Holy Island is a special place. It's cut off twice a day by the tide. So if you're going there, you need to know the tide timetables. But I think that makes it an extra special place. And there have been other television programmes showing people walking other pilgrim routes across Europe to Santiago de Compostela, the shrine in Spain of St. James. There are people of faith, people of lapsed faith, no faith, or seekers after faith, and they all seem to have learned on. Sarah, the new Archbishop of Canterbury, also walked a pilgrim route from St. Paul's in London to Canterbury in the days before she was enthroned in the cathedral. For her, it was the telling of her story, of her new place in the life of the church, moving from one cathedral in London, as she was Bishop of London, to become Archbishop of Canterbury. But in all these pictures, one thing stood out for me. During these journeys, hospitality was offered. Basic accommodation, but so generous. A meal, a bed for the night. I think then the best bit is time to rest. The sense of relief was so strong. A chance to stop and rest for some hours. Dame Sarah, too, was offered a place to stay each night by members of the churches along her journey. There is plenty of room in my father's house. We heard last Sunday about places of sanctuary, cities, Methodist circles, places of sanctuary, safe and welcoming places. And I've been learning this week about something very special that happens here on a Thursday evening. A free meal is offered to all who come. Anyone. Over 2,000 meals have been served in the last 3 years to anyone looking for perhaps company, a hot meal to enjoy, support for any who need it, those struggling with little money or security, those with no secure housing, those seeking refuge, anyone, all are welcome in this place. There is plenty of room in my father's house. Here are more pictures reflecting the hospitality of God. One verse in the reading we heard can seem to be difficult or even rather offensive. No one comes to the Father except through me. What it doesn't say is no one knows anything about God except through me. Jesus is talking to his disciples. That context is important. He's not drawing boundaries, but giving directions and giving a positive message to those that are prepared to trust him, that they will share something of the relationship with the one he calls Father. That gracious offer of hospitality of his father's house is open to all. Our Christian life, I think, is one of comfort and of challenge. We've heard a bit of comfort first in that John's reading, but life isn't always easy. But there's comfort in knowing that there is one who walks with us. Our second reading leads on to the challenge, and Mike is going to read to us from Peter's letter, 1 Peter chapter 2. Is Mike? Yes, he's here.
Peter chapter 2, verses 2 to 10. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you, Mike. There seems to be some discussion amongst scholars, people who really do know these things, about whether this letter was written by Peter, who was one of the apostles, one of the first disciples of Jesus. But then those who do know Greek can say that, well, it's not polished Greek. Peter didn't write this. He was a simple fisherman. Be that as may be, the name Peter was given to this letter. And I think if it wasn't Peter, well, it was another special Peter. This letter is for a new Christian community, one living a new life, but one already facing persecution. They are members of churches in five provinces in Asia Minor. They were Gentile, non-Jews. The recipients of the letter once participated in the social and cultural life of their community, but since conversion to Christianity have been marginalized and abused. The society to which they once belonged considers them unwelcome and dangerous. So the letter gives them instructions on how to live. They are to hope, to be holy, seek lives set apart for God's loving service. They are to long for spiritual nourishment so that they can grow as children of God. The images shift from birth and growth to a spiritual temple or a house, and then to a holy priesthood. None of this is for individual Christians alone, but for them to be God's own people. The writer saw Jesus as a living stone, rejected by people, honoured by God. And the Christian believers were also to be living stones, rejected by their culture and honoured by God. The writer is giving a new vision of who they are, a sense that they are now special, but with challenges ahead of them. 1 Peter is a letter full of hope with the theme of how to live with firm foundations in hostile surroundings. The power of the gospel offers new life and identity in Jesus that provides strength for those under great pressure. This passage has two quite, I think, powerful images: the hunger of a baby crying for milk, and then the stones that are built together around the chief cornerstone that gives a building stability. The first picture stresses a desire to be nourished by God and a return to simplicity. A baby who knows nothing but is continually seeking for food, a life that resembles a baby born into a loving family. The image of the stone is used here with quotations from the book of Isaiah and the Psalms. There is talk of a firm rock in the middle of the storm and the flood, and the power of God to keep this stone safe even in the middle of stormy times for the community. Coming to Jesus, the living stone, leads to being built together as a strong community. Peter is urging his readers to come, be built into a temple where God can be praised and served with faithfulness. Jesus assures his disciples that he is the way for them, and they can be united with him. And for us, we're also reminded we are not alone. We are called not just to believe, but to live in the way that reflects the love of God. That love is to overflow in prayer, worship, service to others. And as we move on from here today, may we continue to be those living stones, the people of God. Amen. Our next hymn, if you're using a book, or if you're not using a book, number 689, Summoned by the God Who Made Us. For many years at this point in the service, it's been usual to have an offering brought to the front, offerings of money. But now offerings are mainly paid through banks. The treasurer tells me it's much safer and easier to do it that way. But I think we may have lost something, because I think it's a good point when we, a good time to reflect on the generosity of God. Let us pray. Generous God, you have given us so much. We have offered our money and offer ourselves now, that both may be used to bring in your kingdom here on earth. Amen. We now bring our prayers of concern and join together in the Lord's Prayer, and Sarah will now lead us in those prayers.
As we pray together now, I will leave pauses for us all to petition God silently in our own words. Risen Lord, how often are we like Thomas, questioning and faltering, thinking that we're on our own to work things out? Help us listen to your promises, to receive your assurance that prayers offered in your name will be answered, and to let you remove troubles from our hearts. May we remember your constant presence with us as we pray now and at all times. Risen Lord, we pray for people of the world who are suffering through war, disease, greed, accidents, and natural disasters. We pray for hope, and we pray for peace in Ukraine, the Middle East, and all other countries torn apart by violence. We bring before you the people and places on our minds, whether known to us or brought to our attention in the news. Risen Lord, we pray for people in the UK who are experiencing hostility and violence because of their religion, colour, or culture. We pray for Jewish communities in this current rise of anti-Semitism, and particularly for those in Golders Green in the wake of the attacks there this week. Risen Lord, we pray for the people of our own town, for the building of a kind and open-hearted community where all are welcome and treated like brothers and sisters. We pray especially for our neighbours who have sought asylum here and are now having to move elsewhere. We ask that they will know you are with them and will meet with kindness where they find themselves. Risen Lord, we pray for members of our church community, our family and colleagues, friends, neighbours and strangers, for those with whom we eat and talk, at home, at work, in the community and here in our church building, for all who grow, harvest, deliver and prepare the food we eat, and for those who cook it and serve it, and for those who wash up afterwards. Risen Lord, healer, hear our prayers for those who are ill in mind or body or recovering from injury, as we ask you to comfort them and restore them to health. We bring before you those known to us. Risen Lord, we pray for those who are sad and grieving the loss of someone dear to them, whether through death, estrangement, or the losses that come with dementia and other diseases. Also for those who are feeling lost themselves. We ask for the comfort of the Holy Spirit within us and the fellowship of the church family around us. Risen Lord, we thank you for showing us the way in human terms that we find easier to understand, which helps us to recognise all the wonderful things in your world for which we should be grateful. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And now we say together the Lord's Prayer in the words our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Sarah. We're coming now to the end of our service, and I would just like to thank the music department, the technical department over there, all those who've read or led prayers, and thank you too to the tea and coffee makers. I'm sure there are some. Our last hymn is number 470. Lord, for the years thy love has kept and guided us.
Oh,
May your journey home and each journey you make this week be blessed with a sense of God's presence and be an opportunity to grow in trust and hope and gentleness. May the blessings of Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer be with us all today and forever. Amen.